Hi, I'm Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL and New York Times bestselling author. If you're like me, you want real security and defense news you can trust. You're probably tired of hearing the same talking heads, guys who have never seen the front lines, saying the same BS 100 different ways. It's why I founded SoftRep.com, military-grade news produced entirely by our staff of military veteran journalists. Sign up at SoftRep for real news, real experience, real experts. SoftRep does what the mainstream media can't, deliver authentic content straight from the front lines. Sign up for a free trial membership today, and I'll give you my best-selling ebook, The Red Circle, for free. But that's not all. Your SoftRep membership also includes access to cutting-edge defense and security news by military experts, access to our award-winning documentaries, ebooks, special member events, and much more. So what are you waiting for? Let us know you're in. Sign up for your free trial membership today. Join our community at SoftRep. That's SoftRep.com.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to SoftRep Radio. Special operations military news and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Welcome back to SoftRep Radio. Today, I'm going to be talking about this crazy coronavirus and the Afghanistan pullout. And yeah, we're going to talk about two big important things. I'll start off with Corona. As the coronavirus was coming out of China, I was actually attending a Harvard Business School course called OPM. It's a two-year program for business owners, but it's for people from all over the world. And we have a handful of folks from China. So it was interesting kind of seeing this whole coronavirus emerge on the global landscape, and a lot of my classmates kind of concerned with what was happening in our own small class, because there was, you know, it's flu season. There definitely was a cold being spread among the class. And then one guy ended up catching a fever and getting hospitalized. Campus police showed up to another person's room on campus during the course. We live on campus for about 4 weeks. And then watching kind of this whole media scare and really hype, you know, when you look at this, unfortunately, we live in the age of the internet, which is great because news travels fast. But the traditional media outlets primarily make most of their money off advertising, and it's all about getting attention, right? So they need to grab attention. So they, you know, how can you direct people to your news site if you're talking or reporting about Corona? Well, you get some scary title, and unfortunately, fear works to drive a lot of traffic to these different sites. And so you end up with this like global media, almost like a media pandemic, let alone the virus being a pandemic in itself. And then you get this widespread concern and you know, on the verge of panic from a global population. And to give you an example, I was in an Uber this week, and the Uber driver was saying that, you know, among the drivers, they were literally talking about how they weren't picking up people in New York City with Asian names. And then eventually the profiles, the Asian profiles, they changed to American names. So, you know, like Sam, Bob, whatever, to kind of get around the prejudice. So it's really, that part is unfortunate and a little bit sad to think that, you know, anybody from Asia living in a city like New York or the rest of America, whether they're traveling in a subway or on an airplane, if they have the slightest cough, it's like everybody's ready to panic. But it just shows you, I think, how crazy the media is and a little bit irresponsible in just like spreading the when I say misinformation about corona. You know, the mortality rate of corona is a little bit higher than the basic flu, but most of those fatalities are in older people. When I'm talking corona fatalities, older people or people with pre-existing conditions. And so, you know, I don't think anyone's agreed on the exact mortality rate, but it's somewhere between 1% and 5%. And it really, you know, I read somewhere that if you're under 50, your odds are less than 1% fatality rate. So it's really like just a bad version of the flu. And I remember what happened also in Puerto Rico was with Zika. There was this massive Zika scare, and I live half the year in Puerto Rico, and I've known people that got Zika and just got over it. It really was dangerous if you were pregnant. But other than that, it was just a regular flu virus. So, you know, I think we watch all these movies like Outbreak and Afraid of the zombie apocalypse unfolding in real life, when in reality, you know, it's, you know, we're so globally connected now through air travel and information that, you know, obviously any type of new strain of virus is going to be scary. No arguing that. But I think the media has largely caused this massive panic. And now you have, unfortunately, you know, I've talked about this in the past about, you know, what's going to happen to the economy. And it's very interesting because, you know, you see some wild swings in the stock markets. You've got some real concern. People, they're talking about postponing, potentially canceling the Summer Olympics in Japan. You have major events being canceled throughout the U.S., a lot of trade shows. My own trade show, YPO, has a global event, leadership event every year. This year it was in San Diego. That event's been canceled. So the unfortunate thing is, you know, a lot of this is going to impact the U.S. economy. Where it's really showing up is how reliant we are on China for a lot of textiles and consumer goods. And now we're seeing that these factories, with the Chinese New Year happening just before the outbreak, the coronavirus, and Chinese New Year, everything shuts down. You know, the factories close, everything kind of shuts down. And then on the end of that, the coronavirus happening, and now, you know, companies that rely on products made in China aren't able to source their products, so their supply chains are impacted, and everyone's kind of feeling the squeeze. Add to that, like I said, all these major trade shows getting shut down. There's like major, major blow to the economy. So, you know, you saw the interest rates lowered in the U.S. I think what's going to happen is more people are going to stay home this summer. They're not going to travel abroad. But it's an interesting thing that's happening, and it could potentially, it'll impact the economy, you know, could have a negative effect and put us into recession globally, or, you know, it could foster cooperation globally between governments and actually potentially stave off the recession for a little bit longer. Everything goes in cycles, right? So markets go up and down, economies go up and down. We've been in a pretty bullish economy now for one of the longest runs in American history. So it's just a matter of time before we see some type of correction. But anyway, the coronavirus, it's definitely a thing. I don't think it's as bad as people think. You know, I was talking to my friend this morning at breakfast. It's like, I almost wish I could just get it myself and get it over with. So I don't have to worry about it. But anyway, I did write a piece on SoftRep, just how to prepare for the coronavirus. But it's really, you know, the piece that I wrote is essentially how to prepare for any kind of natural disaster or event like coronavirus. And I'm more worried about this media-induced panic driving people to rush out to the grocery store. And obviously, this is already happening because I normally keep a go bag in the house, and I keep a little bit of a fresh water supply in reserve and some basic stores. But I went in and bought some more stuff for my own purposes. And I could see like places on Amazon where stuff was out of stock. And so the article I wrote was essentially just like what you should have on hand normally, just to be prepared. And I'll go down the list and share that with you. And this should be something you should have at all times. It's just a good kind of peace of mind. If you have, whether you live alone or you're with the family and loved ones, you should have this stuff on hand just all the time. That way, if something does happen, you're prepared. Because most often what happens is some event occurs, and by the time you're running out to get resupplied, you're already way behind the power curve. So my thing is like, look, if you don't have what you need now, just go and stock up and put it in a closet or the basement somewhere and just forget about it and know that you're prepared. If stuff were to happen, like let's just say they put a quarantine on your local city, now you can't travel outside of the city limits. Imagine what's going to happen with people running out to the pharmacy, grocery store. All the stuff is going to be gone within seconds because the local supply chains are affected in any type of quarantine scenario. You can't get goods and services in and out of the city. So just a good idea. So I'll go down the list. You know, clean drinking water is huge. I would definitely invest in some type of water for your purification as well, like whether it's tablets or filters. That way, if you do have to use your local water supply, at least you have a way to kind of clean and filter out the bad stuff. And also stock up on bottles of water, you know, like big jugs, just to kind of put it aside. You know, there's a lot of high calorie survival meals out there. I'm a big fan of Mountain House. Some don't need to be heated or have water added. Unfortunately, most of the Mountain House stuff, you do have to add water and heat it. I would avoid buying any type of old military MREs, we call them meals ready to eat, only because there's just a lot of fake MREs out there. You don't know what you're getting. So unless you have a hookup from somebody in the military that they've given you a couple boxes, I would avoid that and just buy the commercial survival stuff. Very easy to go at Amazon or wherever and verify from the reviews whether it's good or not. A lot of, you can get organic canned and dry food options. You definitely don't want to be in a situation where you're living off survival meals for 2 weeks as your only option. I did it in Afghanistan for about 4 months and it was not a pleasant experience. A good first aid kit. Everybody should have like the basic kind of day-to-day first aid, but then also, you know, you should have a little bit more than the basic day-to-day, what we call boo-boo kit in the military. I would definitely have some serious stuff to dress, like wounds. And I'm talking like what happens around the house. You cut yourself really badly. You need to sew somebody up, suture them up. You should have a suture kit, some type of tourniquet, lots of gauze. There's some real good technology there on clotting gauze kits that really stop the bleeding. And then obviously with that goes, you should educate yourself on some basic first aid. And YouTube is a great resource, to be honest. Then just basic stuff like toiletries, right? Soap, alcohol, hand rub, like disinfectant, but just the basic toiletries that you're going to need. Pet supplies, food for your pets too. A lot of people just don't realize. In some cases, probably you got more reserved pet food than you do food for your own family. But it is good to think about the pets. Some type of, you know, basic mask with filtration. That's in a case where you'd have to like move out in the open environment. If an outbreak were to happen in your area, you'd at least have some basic protection. And we do have some of those. We found a pretty good source in the soft rep store. We just got resupplied after we sold out the initial batch. If you have young kids, you know, I would think about some type of board games, activities to keep the kids occupied, books. But also, if you have infants, you got to stock up on the baby stuff, right? Whether it's formula, food, diapers, all that stuff. I'd always think having a good portable radio is a good idea with spare batteries, as well as headlamps. You know, when the lights go out, the power goes out, you always want to have candles are good, but LEDs, they last so long, even with the basic batteries, that You know, I'm a big fan of hands-free lighting sources like a LED headlamp, plenty of those available on the internet and at REI. Portable GPS, also a fan of that. You know, these portable GPS maps, if you do have to navigate somewhere, at least you have a portable option with battery backup, always a good thing. I would also think about kind of that one good outfit you could put on and wear for several days, you know, a good jacket, all-weather jacket. I'm a big fan of natural materials like wool because you can wear wool socks for several days. Wool has a natural tendency to eliminate odor. We used to have a saying in the military, cotton kills, because when you get cotton wet, it's the worst. So big fan of wool, natural materials as underlayers. Not only is wool warm when it's wet or when you sweat in it, it's a natural material, very rugged and resistant to odor. So huge fan of just kind of any type of wool socks. And they have some great kind of, I use wool sock liners from REI as my kind of everyday sock because they're just great. What else? Also like one good backpack per person and make sure there's a pack for everybody. Have some first aid, you know, a mini first aid kit in every pack, some food, some portable water, filters. Everyone should have their own kind of go bag for the family. And this stuff, like once you prep it, you just put it away and forget about it, right? So that's the point I'm getting at here. Just have it put away. If shit does go down, you're prepared and, you know, you've got a plan together. And speaking of plan, if you do have a family, you got to come up with a basic, simple plan. Like, hey, if something happens, kids are at school, you're at work, we're going to have a rally point. And that could be home. That could be a relative's house, but someplace where they know if they lose cell phone signal, like they go here, everybody is going to meet at this spot. And the simpler the plan, the better. And everybody should know what that is. So that I can't emphasize that enough. And I always, even when I travel with my kids, I say, okay, if something happens, whether it's a, God forbid, a terrorist attack, like what happened in Paris, but this is the plan, go here. If we get separated, this is what you do. Because look, we are so reliant on our cell phones these days. If the cell towers go out, you need to have that basic plan. Always surprised in how many people just don't put enough time into it or have that conversation with the family.
I'm Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL and founder of the Crate Club. Tired of the same old gift ideas? Want military-grade survival gear delivered to your doorstep? Then get Crate Club, the box built by Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and Special Ops guys. With backpacks, holsters, and more military-grade gear, it's the perfect gift for the guy in your life. Subscribe to Crate Club and we'll also include The Killing School, my best-selling ebook about America's elite snipers. That's crateclub.com, crateclub.com.
Anyway, that's kind of my tips on coronavirus. Again, you know, to recap, I think the media has not done the general population justice. They're really good at kind of fear-mongering to drive page views. And in reality, the coronavirus or COVID-19, it's a nasty little virus, but the odds of you dying from it are extremely, extremely low. And so just keep that in mind. And I'm guessing that in the next few years, we're going to get some type of version of it anyway, because it's just the way people pass viruses and we get sick and we build our immune system and, you know, the cycle of life continues. So it just is what it is. So on to the next topic. And before I get into Afghanistan, I do want to remind people to please email us your questions, radio@softrep.com. radio@softrep.com. Any type of interviews, topics, guests you want to see on the show, please let us know. I will say Peter Berg's team reached out to us last week, so we're looking forward to having Peter Berg on the show. As many of you know, Peter Berg directed Lone Survivor. He's got a new movie out on Netflix that we'll talk about when he's in studio. And again, if you haven't seen my friend Todd's movie, The Last Full Measure, please check that out. The Last Full Measure. It's based on a true story of a Air Force pararescue man in Vietnam getting awarded the Medal of Honor. Great story, great movie. Todd's a good friend of mine, And he is also a big supporter of the military. So appreciate you going and showing support for the Last Full Measure. Let's talk about Afghanistan, right? We're looking at close to 20 years in Afghanistan. I've talked about it before. I think about it as my generation's Vietnam with just a better homecoming. Really, after the first three years of occupation in Afghanistan, America really should have just pulled out. If I had the magic wand and it could go back in time, you know, we would have pulled out of Afghanistan entirely. You know, the main objective when I went over there with SEAL Team 3 was disrupt the terrorist training networks that had been established post-Soviet withdrawal. As you remember, in the 80s, the CIA and the U.S. government were backing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan that were fighting the Soviets. And the Mujahideen was essentially morphed into Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. You know, after the Soviets withdrew, Afghanistan became this like haven for Mujahideen training camps, you know, that kind of proliferated into bin Laden kind of leading the Al-Qaeda and looking for the next, you know, enemy of Islam, which was clearly, in his eyes, America, the United States occupation of the Middle East. You know, they had this major kind of free run and free reign of Afghanistan to kind of, you know, turn it into this terrorist training network. And post 9/11, it was clear that, okay, we need to go in Afghanistan, wipe these training camps off the face of the earth, you know, kill as many terrorists, bad guys as we can, essentially sending a message that, look, America's not going to take this kind of thing, as well as the rest of the free world. And I think that's why it was very easy for the U.S. to kind of build a coalition. And that coalition was pretty strong. You know, you have Poland, the U.K., Canada, the Netherlands, most of free Europe, Australia, New Zealand, participating in this coalition in Afghanistan. We largely accomplished that mission in the first couple of years. While we didn't find bin Laden right away, we know now that he escaped across the border into Pakistan, ultimately. However, we should have pulled out. And now we're here almost 20 years later. What the hell do we really have to show for Afghanistan? Now we're trying to get this peace deal signed with the Taliban. But the point is, I think Trump is right to say, let's end it and bring American troops home. The problem that I see in a lot of my fellow veterans is they come back from later stage Afghanistan tours, and I'm talking post 2005. They lose friends over there. They see not only their friends dying, but people getting wounded and injured. They're coming back to the U.S. and they're kind of stepping back. Maybe they're transitioning outside of the civilian world and they're like, okay, what the hell was this all about? And I think that's where people really struggle psychologically, because they cannot rationalize the terrible acts that they've done or seen overseas. Compared to when I was there in 2001, 2002, it's very easy for me to come back and rationalize what we did, being deployed over there right on the heels of 9/11, having a very clear objective. It's very easy for me to come home and rationalize the things that we did over during my own personal deployment. However, had I put myself in the shoes in a thought experiment of going and deploying in 2010 and seeing and you know, terrible things happen. And look, there'll always be some internet tough guy that's like, kill them all, let God sort them out. And in the right context, I can get on board with that statement. However, the reality is we're talking about young American 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old men and women getting put into this bureaucratic machine, and the gears are just grinding away at their mental state, right? And so it's a serious thing. And it's why we're having a major issue now with veteran suicide in the U.S. You know, people literally, I remember I spoke to a Marine a few months ago, and he said, yeah, I've lost more guys in my unit post-deployment from suicide than we did when we had casualties in Afghanistan. So that's the reality. of the situation. So I think it's long overdue that the U.S. withdraw troops from Afghanistan. Long, long overdue. And I think Afghanistan, unfortunately, is not going to be a better place, with the exception of potentially a more stable government that will leave. So maybe that's probably the most beneficial part of leaving Afghanistan. A little bit better off is that I'll have a more stable government. I think we have to acknowledge that the Taliban is a big force, and not everybody wants to live by the same standards as we do in America and the rest of the free world. And we just have to make peace with that. It's just like communist China. Some cultures choose to live differently, and it's just a fact of life. We cannot force people into cultural change overnight. It takes time for people to kind of evolve and make their own decisions and have regime change, all that good stuff. So I do think that it's time we pull out of Afghanistan, and I'm glad to see we are making progress there, even though there is, you know, obviously some continued tension with the Taliban. But it looks like 4,000 troops within the first 135 days are going to be withdrawn out of the current 13,000 troops currently deployed. So almost half, and then the 8,600 remaining would leave within 14 months. So I think it's a good move, you know, and it's unfortunate that it hasn't been done probably 17 years earlier. Anyway, we cannot continue to run around the globe. I've said this many times, and try and police every possible conflict and be the world's police when we have serious issues at home in America with our healthcare and education system. It's time for us to kind of focus a little bit inward. We still have to, we have a responsibility as a world leader, but we need to really start refining our global foreign policy strategy, which, you know, you ask any politician, they're going to tell you a different answer, which is a big problem. I've harped on this over and over again. When you have a very unclear foreign policy strategy, you get into a situation where you drift along in Afghanistan for 20 years, don't have anything to show for it. And it's a shame that the probably close to $1 trillion that has been pumped in to Afghanistan and the loss of future generations of America, relatively nothing to show for it. I could think of a much better way to spend $1 trillion at home and include our basic healthcare services for the citizens, as well as our education system. I believe that the U.S. is rich enough to have a robust, if we can stand up, you know, these massive government bureaucracies to essentially serve in multiple capacities in government, from the IRS to the State Department to your local, just think of your local government and how much they spend. You know, we can carve out some budget and start thinking about ways not only to shore up our public school system, but be able to offer a free, like taxpayer funded basic college education for our own citizens, which is really investing in our country, right? We're at a point where we're losing our technology edge in multiple ways, from AI to financial technology, communications technology. It's really an investment in the future of America and the future generation by, you know, looking at the skill sets shortfalls in the US, as well as refining our immigration policy. Australia has a great policy, Canada as well, where they identify skill set shortages, and then they let people immigrate that can fill those skill sets. America, we have a lottery system, which is crazy to me, that we have a lottery in all these different countries and just let anyone in. There's no rhyme or reason to it. But anyway, I'm on a little bit of a tangent now, but that's kind of my feelings with Afghanistan. I'm glad it's happening. I hope we can redirect some of that funding to these critical programs that definitely need attention in America, like the school system, healthcare, And with the school system, you know, I'm saying, look, I'm a capitalist. I'm all about free markets. The fact that, you know, I pay my taxes and my kids can go to public school and get a good education, that's a great thing. And it should be the same for college. Like some, you know, kids that can't afford to get into an Ivy League school or scholarship into these places should be able to have to go to school or a trade school and get trained up on technology or whatever they're interested in and not have to leave a government, like state-owned or run school and leave it with $100,000 plus in student debt. It's just, America is too great of a country to let this happen to our own citizens and future generation. And we need serious change in this country. I've been saying this for a long time now. You know, people ask me all the time, oh, you should run for politics. Not a chance that's going to happen for me. It's just such a, I've given enough to this country without putting my family through a nasty kind of political campaign. It's unfortunate the way, you know, none of us are perfect, right? We've all done things we've regretted, made mistakes, done things like stupid things that we've learned from and hopefully become better people. But to have that kind of exposed, and even in the case where you look at the Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh getting a 16-year-old high school, when he was 16 at a high school party, making some off comment to, you know, some girl at a party. I mean, it's just like crazy. You know, think about when you were 16, all the dumb shit that we all did back then, and having that, and now in the age of the internet, just being on display for everybody. So look, I'm not interested in politics. I'm interested as a concerned citizen having these conversations and using my being a member of my local business chapter, being a former member of the SBA's advisory board as a veteran. You know, I do believe in giving back and continuing to serve and contribute as a citizen of this country, but I have no interest in running for politics, so please don't ask again. anyway, just a short show this week. I am looking forward to getting back in studio and getting some really good guests for you guys. Again, don't hesitate to write in your questions. I hope you've checked out the new site at softrep.com and seen a lot of the changes that we made, as well as thecrateclub.com. You know, we're constantly trying to improve both the content experience. I will update you on this. We are talking to a major video game publisher in the U.S. about doing a soft rep sniper first-person shooter video game for console. That's exciting. We've also got several inquiries on some film and television rights deals now because we have... I've done a lot of soft rep books in the past on our own. Now we actually have an author direct portal. So any writer who's interested in telling a military story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, can now upload that manuscript on our soft rep books page. And we are now publishing several books and plan to publish a lot more that we could potentially turn into TV series and film. So we're excited about that. A lot of good stuff happening. Yeah. What else? I'm trying to think of, I covered the most, the game, the soft rep books. You know, we'll probably get 20 plus titles out this year. It'll be ebook format available on Apple iBooks and Amazon and Audible as well. And if the books, the advantage on Amazon, when you do an ebook on Amazon, it automatically offers a print on demand copy. But if we get a book that's doing really well, we will do a hardback print run on that and sell it into some of the indie bookstores, potentially Barnes & Noble as well. But exciting stuff happening, always interesting journey. We started Soft Rep and Soft Rep Radio 8 years ago, and we've learned a lot along this journey. Appreciate the listener support. The last thing I would mention, we recently signed a deal with iHeart Media. We're going to get support of iHeart Studios for the podcast. So we're looking forward to that. iHeart gives us a ton of access to some really interesting guest rosters as well. So we're looking forward to for that relationship this year. iHeart has been a great partner for us. Super exciting stuff on the horizon. Appreciate all the support. Like I said, our content team here at SoftRep Media is 100% veteran run, and we appreciate that. We believe in making a decent profit decently, and we're big supporters of military charities and employing veterans. And my personal philosophy, I would much rather give a hand up than a handout. And I think we've really learned a lot along the way in how we operate. And we have a great team. So I'm really fortunate for that. And I appreciate your guys' support. So if you don't follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Brandon T. Webb, Brandon T as in Tyler, Webb, W-E-B-B. I run those accounts myself. Please follow us at SoftRep on Twitter and on Instagram as well. I will see you guys very soon out here.
You've been listening to SoftRep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at SoftRep Radio.